I'm Sheila Cast, and this is Midday. More details of standardized test scores by Maryland's high school students are being released today. They'll show how each school and jurisdiction performed. Overall, the scores are low, especially for poor and minority students. A majority are not prepared for college or a career. That's what the general score showed last week. The Maryland State Board of Education said it got a cold shower when it learned that more than half of students who took the exams last spring did not meet standards for English and algebra. On today's Midday, we'll discuss the push for Common Core curriculum standards and their test, known as PARC. Midday, after the news from NPR. Welcome to Midday, everyone. I'm Sheila Cast. Very glad that you are with us. Interim State Superintendent Jack Smith last week made public results of the standardized tests known as PARC, stands for Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. These are the standardized testing companion to the Common Core curriculum standards that Maryland public schools are using to prepare students for college and careers. Today, the State Board is releasing a more detailed report on the PARC test scores, filling out the picture it outlined last week. Today's scores will offer a glimpse of how each school and jurisdiction performed. We hope to get that glimpse during this hour. The overall test scores we saw last week are low, especially for low-income and minority students. More than half of students who took the exams last spring did not meet standards for English and algebra. 31% of students met the standard for Algebra 1. 40% of students met the standard for 10th grade English. For the first time in Maryland classrooms, most students took that test on a computer or tablet rather than the old-fashioned way on a paper with a number 2 pencil. We have three knowledgeable people with us today to put the tests in context for us. Bill Reinhardt is a spokesman for the Maryland State Board of Education. Cheryl Boast, a former Baltimore County school teacher, is vice president of the Maryland State Education Association, the teachers' union. And Elizabeth Isala Light is president of the Maryland PTA. Welcome to you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill. So let's start our conversation with Bill Reinhardt of the State Board of Education. This is the time that was set for the school-by-school high school PARC results to be released. Are they out?
They are out. Thank you for advising that a bit. It is just high school today. We'll be releasing the elementary and middle school scores on December 8th.
And what can we see? Because I haven't been able to get it up on the web. I don't know whether it's been posted yet.
It should be, but I'm not monitoring it at the moment. But what you'll see today is really just PDFs of scores, just pictures. We'll refresh the website a little bit later to have the more detailed analysis. But you'll see every high school in the state how well the kids did on Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and English 10.
And I'm curious as to whether, with that initial initial screen that you've seen and I haven't, do you see any geographic trends? Are there differences in scores?
To be honest, I have not looked at the details from system to system. Our systems are going to be speaking to reporters about that later today, but I haven't.
Last week, one member of the state school board described seeing the test scores, the overall scores for the whole state from the PARC, as a cold shower. Dr. Jack Smith and others from the state board cautioned that most times the first scores posted from a new standardized test are low and then rise over time. Is PARC any different from what we're seeing so far?
Not really, no. We expect that same pattern to hold true. Maryland was one of the early adopters of statewide accountability, and we started with the old Maryland functional tests that were designed to prepare or make certain kids were ready when they left high school back in the, I believe it was in the 80s. My kids took those tests in middle school and passed them. They were at a very low level. We went to the MISPAP tests, which were more of a school performance assessment. Again, started low, ended quite high when we did away with that exam to moved into the MSA test, the Maryland School Assessments, that we had until this year. Those were a somewhat higher level test for individual schools and students, but not like PARC. PARC is really designed to see where kids are in relationship to college or career preparation, and we expected these initial scores to be somewhat less than sparkling, but at the same time, it gives us a baseline. It gives us a place to grow from.
Somewhat less than sparkling is not a phrase that very many observers of these scores would use. I mean, cold shower is what was said at the board meeting. I mean, these are pretty low scores. 31% of students meeting the standard for algebra, 40% of students meeting the standard for 10th grade English. Was the expectation inside MSDE that the scores would be that low?
Well, we don't like to predetermine anything, but we did know that some other states had released their scores earlier. In fact, our scores are better than Massachusetts, for example, which is a system that is often looked upon as the nation's best, or one of the nation's
best. Scores for both math and English?
Well, they're PARC scores. I don't have their breakdown in front of me. But again, these are new tests. There's no accountability associated with them. In other words, students did not have to pass anything in order to move on to another grade or to graduate from high school. There is no teacher accountability associated with them. They're not used in evaluations. So at this point, we expected a fairly modest score, and certainly that's what happened. Now, everybody knows the standard after the first time they've been put in. We also are a little bit more comfortable with the new curriculum that's in front of the new standards, the Maryland College and Career Ready standards that are based on the Common Core. With each year, we expect these scores to rise and rise dramatically.
From these initial scores, is classroom prep being changed to
classroom
reflect
prep,
the scores?
Well, I mean, good prep is good instruction, and that's really what these tests are designed to sort of mete out, to kind of help teachers and help parents understand what is really required of students.
I understand that parents can opt out.
That is not true. Maryland has no opt-out provision in law. They have opt-out provisions specifically for some areas, sex education being one. There is no opt-out provision for testing, and of course, federal law requires that all students in grades 3 through 8 plus one high school grade is tested.
I'm trying to remember some of the discussion that I remember reading and hearing about last spring about parents who were holding their children out from the standardized test. That's not something that is possible to do?
Well, students miss tests for a variety of reasons. So it could be a long-term illness and something like that, and I'm sure some parents made some sort of decision where they felt that their child was not prepared and held those students out of the test. But that's not really a provision in Maryland law or in Maryland code.
That's Bill Reinhart, spokesman for the Maryland State Education Department, here on Midday on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the standardized test known as the PARC, Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. There is a new analysis of some of the test scores from the tests that were given last spring. Today, the MSDE is releasing a school-by-school and jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction scores for the high school students who took the test. And, Bill, am I right that the individual student scores will be available next week?
Well, they'll start to go home to parents within the next week. I don't know what the mail system is like, but they'll be filtering out, yes.
You can be part of this conversation. You can call us at 410-662-8780, and we have a toll-free number, too. That's 866-661-8780. 9309, or you can send us an email at midday@wypr.org if you have some thoughts about the standardized tests and for that matter, about the Common Core curriculum. Let me pull our other guests into this conversation. Elizabeth Isalo-Light, president of the Maryland PTA, I gather that your focus is very much on making sure parents know what to make of these tests.
That's absolutely right. We are, in fact, holding informational sessions across the state so that parents do know what to anticipate when those scores come home. The most important thing is that they understand what they mean and what they do not mean. This is a snapshot of what your student did on one particular day. They could have had a good day. They could have had a less than stellar day that particular when that test was held. So it's important for parents to look at this as data. Perhaps this data will tell them that their child could use additional assistance in English or additional instruction in math. And there are websites that they can go to. Maryland PTA has a website that has additional information. MSDE has a website as well. But BeALearningHero.org also has practice questions that parents can download and use on a snow day or on a day when their child is not in school, and be able to help that child strengthen any particular area where they can see a gap.
BeALearningHero.org is where there are some practice test questions. We will put links to some of those on the Midday website. This release today of school-by-school analysis, how will that be used, or how will you try to make that useful to parents?
What's very important is that parents, this is the beginning of a conversation between parents and in their teachers and the principals and everyone involved in education. It's very important for families to work with their children together with the education leaders to try to determine what's best for their child. Everyone wants their child to succeed in school and make their potential a priority. So what we want them to do is to open the conversation and discuss what's best for their child and what's best for their school.
Cheryl Boast, vice president of the Maryland State Education Association, the teachers union, has been, I think it's fair to say, more critical of the testing process. What is your reaction to last week's scores and to the analysis we're waiting for today?
I think, as Elizabeth said, that this is one data point, but we see that there's too much emphasis on testing, whether it be the PARC or whether it be other state tests or locally mandated tests. Too much instruction time for our students is being wasted to testing. Even last evening, I had the opportunity to talk to high school students who said that they feel stressed over the testing. The testing doesn't really indicate where they are in instruction and what they know of a content. And we really want to go back to less testing and more learning in our schools. And so not to have an overemphasis of this data coming out, it's one piece, it's one indication, but we have to look at the whole child and the whole educational program.
I would like to talk to Don in Annapolis, who has a question. Don, welcome to Midday.
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I have looked at the reports in the Baltimore Sun, and they say that in Baltimore City we spend $16,500 per student. And in Anne Arundel County, we spend about $13,500. And I was wondering, is the testing better in Baltimore City?
So you're asking whether a great... first of all, when you ask, is the testing better, do you mean, are the scores higher? Or do you mean...
I guess... I'm under the naive assumption that higher scores mean better education, but maybe that's not true. But I know we spend a lot more in Baltimore. I'm just not used to Maryland and its funding of public education on a county basis, where we spend, you know, where the state funds all education. And I read in the Baltimore Sun that, you know, those are the numbers for Baltimore City versus Anne Arundel County, where I live. And it just seems to me that kids are doing better in Anne Arundel County than they are in Baltimore City. And I wondered if the testing contradicted that.
Well, I'm having trouble. I think there is a complicated education formula and lots of arguments about various aspects of it, but largely it aims at compensating in some jurisdictions for challenges that students have, like low incomes and other challenges. So, Bill, I'm going to ask for your help to articulate whether there's any connection between funding and testing.
Well, I don't know about funding and testing. There certainly is a connection between funding and student learning. I mean, there's no question that there are challenges involved in some of our jurisdictions that other jurisdictions have fewer of. I mean, the number of students that receive free and reduced meals far greater in some parts of our state than others. And the data is pretty clear that if you come to school perhaps hungry or from some other economically disadvantaged place, you're less likely to learn. There's no question about it.
And Sheila, one of the things that our teachers and educators across the state are saying is, let's not look always at the output, which this test is an output. It was done at the end of the year, and we're only getting the results now, which many of our tests do. Let's start looking at the inputs. So what does class size look like? And that fits into the funding. Class size, resources, opportunities for students, especially in our disadvantaged schools. And so, again, when we say the overemphasis on testing, it's also the overemphasis on looking at the end instead of looking at the beginning and what we're providing for our students, no matter what jurisdiction that they come from, so that they have more resources and more technology, all of those things put together. We do spend a lot of money in the state and at the county levels on testing, where that money could go back into instruction and resources and personnel.
Right, and that's certainly a topic we're going to discuss more in this hour. And certainly there has been a lot of attention by leadership to the question of Maryland's test schedule and how much resources go into it. Before I let you go, Bill Reinhart, let me ask if there is any discussion that you can affirm publicly at MSDE about whether Maryland will continue to give the Park test or whether it might move away from it as some other states have done.
Well, as you probably know, this federal law requires that every state give a test. And in fact, we think that served Maryland students and their families very, very well. We by giving one test that every school, every system gives, you have a good barometer on student instruction. I agree with most everything else that's been said today. I think this is just a snapshot, as Elizabeth said. This is one data point. We have never said that students should be judged entirely on a single test. That you need multiple measures when you're looking at student achievement, but it's important to have one. It's important to have one state measure. We absolutely agree with Cheryl that we should be looking at testing, and we've been looking at it really for a year already on the number of tests that local systems require. This is an important conversation to have. But the bottom line is we need one test. This is our test. We have no other test in the works. And the reviews of this test have been very solid from a variety of organizations. Say it really takes a look at learning and student achievement in ways that other tests have not been able to provide.
When you talk about the reviews of the test, Bill, you're talking about the content and what the test tests, scores.
Not the scores. No, I am talking about the content and what it involves and how it assesses student learning in a more modern way. It requires thinking, not just sort of number and fact regurgitation. This is an important step.
I think, in assessment. And we believe that, that PARC is a very, very good sort of judge of student learning, along with everything else. I mean, we would never suggest that you throw away student work during each semester. That's important as well.
Bill, I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Bill Reinhardt is spokesman for the Maryland State Department of Education. We are going to take a short break here. We have callers waiting to talk to us, and you can be part of that conversation, too, if you call us at 410-662-8780. We're going to continue this conversation about standardized testing and the Common Core curriculum. You can send us an email to midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be back in less than 2 minutes. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the statewide high school results of the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, the PARC exams. They are the standardized testing companion to the Common Core curriculum standards that Maryland Public Schools use to prepare students for college and careers. Advocates say this approach to learning and its exam offer a more rigorous path to college and help students get set for career preparedness. Compared to the previous standardized test, the new PARC test focuses more on application of skills and critical thinking. But critics say the Common Core push has blocked the academic flow of the classroom, taking over precious teaching time of basic subjects in order to prepare or teach to the test. We've seen this debate reflected in recent headlines. President Barack Obama recently said high-stakes standardized testing is too prevalent in U.S. classrooms. And last week, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan appointed a committee to evaluate whether Maryland students are over-tested, especially standardized tests. We are here with two people with very distinct views about it. Cheryl Bost is vice president of the Maryland State Teachers Association, the State Teachers Union. She is a former elementary school teacher in Baltimore County. And Elizabeth Isala Light, president of the Maryland PTA, is with us also. The Maryland PTA is about to open up a statewide push to help parents better understand the PARC exams, and I'm glad that you are both here. Let us go right away to phone calls. By the way, let me remind people, you can be part of this conversation. Call us at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. Michael is calling us from Federal Hill. Michael, welcome to Midday.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And your point is?
My point is, first of all, I want to just let you know I've been an educator for 25 years, and I have to say I have never met a curriculum that matched a standardized test in terms of kind of being an authentic assessment. I'm actually, and this might surprise people, I'm actually a big fan of this CCRC, the College to Career Readiness Curriculum. But I've yet to meet a test that actually matches what the test is, what the curriculum asks for, and then what the test asks for. I don't think any of them are authentic. And I'd love to hear both Cheryl or Elizabeth talk about the discrepancy between what is taught to prepare for that test, what is taught in the classroom, and then what is actually on that test.
Michael,
and I happen to believe that's the reason why people do so poorly on them. Besides some other, they're not authentic. Kids don't care about them, and at least that's my experience and a lot of my colleagues.
And let me ask, Michael, you said you've been an educator for 25 years. At what level?
I taught 10th grade English in Baltimore City. I hated it. I actually did. I went and I decided to teach a lot of adult education because one thing that's wonderful there, although they have terrible standardized tests too, the one good test they have is the GED, and it's very clear what is to be taught. And I teach to the test every day. Sometimes it's teaching skills to be ready for things for the test, or it's actually teaching directly towards questions that are going to be exactly like the test.
Okay. I am glad to hear that endorsement of the GED test because it's really important to a lot of people. I'm going to start with Cheryl Bost, who is nodding her head as you were speaking, Michael. So, Cheryl, what is your...
Michael is absolutely correct. Many of our assessments, whether they're state, federal, or local, don't match the curriculum. And we hear that every day from our educators, that they're not authentic to not only what the students are learning, but how they're learning. We learn and we differentiate instruction in our classrooms, and we meet the needs and the students where they are, but yet testing seems to be more of a one-size-fits-all, and students have to sit now in front of a computer screen. And so we do question even the validity of the PARC assessment. Is it assessing our students' computer ability, which we hear many frustrations from our students and teachers about the computerized test? Not that we don't need to go there, but are we ready for it yet? And just the whole testing conditions. But that is a discrepancy, and that's why we believe that any assessments need to be more based in the classroom, done by teachers, done at the local level, so that we can constantly change our instruction. That is really what assessments are for. Assessments are so that we can see where students are, what they've learned, and make adjustments in our curriculum. And the current testing does not allow for that. As you're looking for the test scores today, we're in November. Those students are already out of our classrooms. So we can't change our instruction for those students who took the PARC assessment. But
they're not in the same classrooms they were in last spring.
They're not in the same classrooms that they were in last spring. And especially for the high school assessments, those students you talked about, the Common Core or Career and College Standards, those students barely had any time in those new standards, which does change curriculum where it's taught and at one grade level it's taught. I can tell you as a fourth and fifth grade teacher, what I could see every day in my students and make judgments and make changes, I did not need a test, a big event test like the PARC is, to make those decisions for me. I knew I could make those adjustments, and we see the PARC as more of an event. It takes up technology. It takes up scheduling. It's unnecessary for what we're doing in our classrooms.
Before I ask Elizabeth to respond, let me pick up on a point that both you, Cheryl, and Michael mentioned, and that is that this test was given on computer. I think I read that 80% of students across the state took this on an electronic device. In terms of your concern that results are slow and we're, you know, 6 months past the event now when we're trying to discuss these results, is that likely to speed up if kids are taking tests on computers, and is that a good thing?
Well, the State Department and the PARC Consortium have said that we will soon get these test results in June. However, when I talk a little bit about the technology, we saw computer labs that were tied up for months at a time because you had to roll the kids through computer labs and media centers to take the assessments. So students were not having instruction on computers because they were tied up for testing. In Carroll County, after winter break, there were only 9 days that students in Carroll County were not testing. So it really is eating into the instructional time and the use of technology on an ongoing instructional basis.
That's Cheryl Bost, Vice President of the Maryland State Education Association, the Teachers Union, here on Midday on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Elizabeth Isalo-Light, who is President of the Maryland PTA. And you can be part of this conversation. You can send us an email at midday@wypr.org, or you can phone us 410-662-8780. And finally, Elizabeth, I turn to you on Michael's point about a gap between what kids are taught and what the test actually captures.
Teachers are doing a wonderful job in the classroom. They're teaching critical thinking. They're teaching problem solving and writing skills. And that's exactly what children need when they go into the workforce and when they go into college. Parents right now are facing their children graduating and having to take remedial classes as in their first year in college or community college. What we want to stem is that happening. We want them to learn early on what it takes to be able to master that test and to be able to master that ability to do the critical thinking, to be able to do, to be great writers, so that when they go into college and when they go into the workforce, that is the type of employee and the employer wants.
What is your response to the concern that Cheryl raised and I think underlay the governor's comments last week about the amount of time and resources, but especially classroom time, that go into taking these tests?
Parents are also concerned that a lot of time is being taken up by preparation for this test, the PARC test. And we do also realize that it was the first time. I think that it's important that everyone realize that there were a lot of errors made in those early months, and hopefully those will be ironed out when the next test.
Give me an example of an error that you think.
Well, I think that a lot of the school districts, as Cheryl mentioned, some of the different counties anticipated what it would take to roll the classes through. And so they used a longer period of time to do the pre-testing so that they could make sure that the electronic equipment worked properly. So the students were being moved around instead of being in their classroom. And we think it's very important that they be in the classroom doing what they should be doing with their teachers, learning every day. It's very important. Tests are important. We also need data. We need to know where the students are, but it doesn't have to be the only thing they do in the classroom. This is just one data point, as Cheryl said. They're still going to get grades. They're still going to need to do everything else in the classroom. So give them the ability, and they want to do art and science. We don't want to take up their time with preparation for a test and take away time from other activities that students like to do in school.
So I'm trying to see what conclusion you come to, or maybe you don't come to a conclusion yet. With all those other things that you would like to be going on in the classroom, do you think there's too much time going into the test?
We don't disagree that there is a lot of time going into the test, but I do believe that that will at some point be balanced out in the future. As children get accustomed to this type of test, as the period of time more tests are given, or this test is given in a more streamlined way, and we have computers set up and schoolrooms set up so that we can more economically get the children through, I think that that period of time for the pre-testing will probably be limited.
Let's talk to Alonzo in Baltimore. Welcome to Midday. Alfonso.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you all? Great discussion today. And my comment was on someone mentioned the differences between black students and white students. And my observation is that I live in Baltimore. I grew up in Baltimore and went to Baltimore City Public Schools. Is the underinvestment and the financial disparities between black neighborhoods, white neighborhoods, and days of old where they underfunded schools. And we have parents who are illiterate sending their kids to school. And so, therefore, you don't have the same level of each coming from home. You know, you have affluent parents teaching their kids affluently, and then you have, underprivileged people teaching their kids and who are illiterate, trying to teach their kids and trying to help them out, but can only help them just so far. So my thing is these tests really fair, giving the same test across the board? It just shows where we are, and are we willing to devote the resources to bring everyone to the same level?
Let me ask Elizabeth Light from the Maryland PTA to weigh in on that. I mean, certainly, Elizabeth, we saw dismal results for African-American students in the overall numbers that were released October 27th. Only a quarter of African-American students met the PARC standard for English. What do you think of Alfonso's point that does it make sense to give the same standardized test when students are bringing such different resources with them into the classroom?
And the results for Latino students as well was less than stellar. The fact of the matter is I've never seen a parent say, I don't really want my child to do well academically. Every parent wants the best for their child, and they're going to do what they can to make that happen. If there is a parent who is not able to provide those resources to their child, if they don't have computers at home to be able to access some of the websites that we're going to be giving you, to get some of this material. That material will be available in other ways. The local PTA can make handouts available, the PTA in that school. The library could have materials available, those same sorts of things. So there are other ways that these students could get that same information.
Cheryl Bost from the Teachers Union, what's your reaction to Alfonso's point about...
He brings up a great point. I taught fourth grade for 14 years at Mars Estates Elementary School in Baltimore County. 70% of our students were poverty. We had a majority-minority student population. And our kids, these test scores do not show growth. If I had a student come into my fourth grade class reading at kindergarten level because they've been moved and homeless and everything, they're not going to score well on a standardized fourth grade test. But yet I could show that I could move them three grade levels. And so what we have to do again is look at the inputs. We had a great superintendent at the time who came into us because we had the lowest scores in Baltimore County and said, what do you need to be successful with these students? And some of that is what we see in our community-based schooling. We needed a wellness center. We needed a social worker. We needed training for us ourselves as staff members. And over about a 4 or 5 year period, we reversed our achievement gap. We really were on a path to success, and it is going into those schools having those conversations. As we've said repeatedly, this is just one data point, but we have to look at where are those disparities and how can we make these resources help. And you know, the $68 million that the governor hasn't released yet for the Geographic Cost of Education Index would help those very students who are in our disadvantaged counties. So that funding that's being withheld would help improve the working conditions and learning conditions for our most challenged students.
We're going to take another short break here. That we were just listening to Cheryl Bost, the vice president of the MSEE, the Maryland State Education Association, the Teachers Union. And we were talking to Elizabeth Isala Light, who is president of the Maryland PTA. We're talking about standardized testing results of the PARC exam that was given to high school students last spring. And we'd like you to be part of the conversation. You can send us an email at midday at WYPR.org, or you can phone us at 410-667-8780. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back. Yes, Nathan, and we are continuing right now on Midday. I'm Sheila Cast. I am here with Cheryl Bost, vice president of the Teachers Union, the Maryland State Education Association, and Elizabeth Isala Light, president of the Maryland PTA. We're talking about standardized testing. We still haven't managed ourselves to find it on the Board of Education's website, but the Frederick News Post is reporting that students in Frederick County, 44% of Frederick County Public School high school students, earned a level that would be considered proficient in Algebra 1. 51% would be considered proficient in English, so just about half. But just a third, 33% of Frederick Public School high school students proficient in Algebra 2. In the Baltimore Sun, Erica Green is reporting that in Baltimore City, only about a fifth, 21% of students scored a 4 or proficient level in the on the English exam. 5% scored proficient on the Algebra 2 exam. 9% proficient on the Algebra 1 exam. So those are some initial breakdowns we're getting by jurisdiction of the results from the high school test that was given last spring, and those results are coming out. If you have some comments about, if you have an idea about standardized testing, whether you're for it or against it, we'd love to hear from you. 410-662-8780 is our phone number, and our email address is midday at wypr.org. We got an email from Judy pointing to something that Bill Reinhart from the State Department of Education said earlier on the show. and wanting to follow up on it. Reinhart said the test results, Judy writes, Reinhart said the test results will get better each year. Doesn't that mean that students are being taught to take the test rather than learning in general? Before I throw that to my guests, let me remind listeners that when we spoke with the acting superintendent, Jack Smith, 2 weeks ago on that about that point, he said that the structure of the Common Core curriculum and the standardized test is such that teaching to this test is essentially good teaching. And so he didn't really see a choice between generally teaching students and teaching to the test. I'm curious, Cheryl Bost, how it looks to you.
Well, there is a difference between the standards and the testing. Most of our educators do support the new college and career readiness standards, and we're just getting used to those, and districts are just starting to build the curriculum for them. I think where there's a disparity is when you say teaching to the test, it makes you think that you narrow the curriculum. And at times that does happen, and teachers don't support that. So we don't want to just teach to the math content that's tested and the English content that's tested. We want to teach our social studies and our sciences and our arts and all of those things. And so it does have a narrowing of the curriculum when we do that. But we are learning to teach these new standards, but we have to be given the resources and allowed the pacing. I had a teacher tell me last night, I don't follow the pacing guides that are given in the curriculum. I follow the pacing that the students directly in front of me need. And you can't capture that in an assessment. And that's why we need this instructional time brought back. But teaching to the test can be viewed various ways. We're teaching the curriculum, and now the curriculum is aligned to the assessment. But again, it's still narrowing what we're teaching when we do teach just what is tested.
Elizabeth, I'm sure you've heard a lot of parents on this point about whether teachers are teaching to the test and whether that's a bad thing.
Parents are always concerned that their children are not going to do well and concerned about what is going on in the classroom. We have every faith that the teachers are doing exactly what they need to do in the classroom. This is a new test. We are in a transitional phase. I believe that's what Mr. Reinhart said. And eventually, because it is a new type of test, the students will learn through their work in everyday classroom on how to write better, how to do critical thinking. Those are what this test actually tests. So what I heard at the last Board of Education meeting was that some of the other tests that students will be taking at some point in their career, the ACT and SAT, will also be based largely on this type of reasoning and writing ability as well. So it's good for the students to get that under their belt now, to know what is expected of them, so that when those tests that they'll be taking in the future and will make a determination of what their SAT scores are, when they take those, they will know what to do when the questions are before them. So yes, they are at the early stages of learning how to take this type of test. It's a totally different kind of test. And Cheryl is correct. It is not something where you can just memorize a list of words and then regurgitate that sort of thing. It is a totally different way to take an exam.
Let's talk to Sharon in Owings Mills. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hi. One of my concerns is that when, and this happens whenever we change to a new test, that the Maryland State Department of Education decides to take away some of the accommodations that are given to kids with disabilities on these tests. So what you're actually doing is testing whether or not these children can accommodate themselves and actually show what they have learned under the circumstances of, I can't show you because you're not accommodating my disability.
Sharon, are you the parent of a child with a disability?
I'm an advocate. I'm a parent of two children with disabilities, And I have taught special education for over 20 years. And this is not addressing the needs of these kids because you're taking away what they need to level the playing field.
Can you paint a clearer picture for me? Can you give me a specific example of a disability and the kind of accommodation that used to exist that, that doesn't now?
Sure. I have students in several counties, and including my own child in Baltimore. And one of the accommodations on his IEP is to have what are called graphic organizers to help him organize his information. He's given those in class so that he can organize his thoughts and get them down on paper. On the CARC test, he is not allowed to have those graphic organizers. He has to come up with them on his own, paper and pencil. Well, for him, he's 16, he's in 11th grade. By now, I'm thinking that he's able to do that. But a child in the middle school and elementary school, you take that away from them, they're not able to tell you what they can do, what they can understand, because that's there to help them access that information in their brain.
And is it your impression that that accommodation, you say, was taken away because this test was being given on computer?
No, it was taken away because we have a new test. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with how the test was administered. It has to do with that this is a new test, and we have to check and see how everybody is able to take this test and able to access the curriculum. Well, you're not giving our children the opportunity to access the curriculum if you're taking away the very accommodations that help them do that.
Thank you for the call, Sharon. Elizabeth, I'm not sure I fully understand. Is this a pattern you see, that there are accommodations that are lost every time there's a new test?
I'm not able to comment on that directly.
Well, Cheryl has been nodding her head vigorously, so I'll throw it to Sharon.
Well, I just want to say that federal law does require that accommodations be given to students.
That's what I thought also.
So we heard this, a great concern from our administrators and teachers and even parents on accommodations, and we have requested that the State Board make clarification. The PARC Consortium, with the states, developed their own set of what would be allowable accommodations. As the parent said, some of them were removed. Verbatim reading was removed if you didn't have a certain type of IEP. And this was a change for many of our educators that were rushing to change IEPs. So instead of the test meeting the students' IEPs then had to meet the test. And our teachers said overwhelmingly that students were frustrated during the testing. They weren't given their correct accommodations. The computer was of even greater difficulty with using a mouse that they were not used to, scrolling, trying to read at the same time. We have grave concerns over the allowable accommodations and how they were articulated and how they were enforced in our schools.
We are down to a minute or so. Elizabeth, let me just ask you if you can give us your ideas about what parents can expect next year as the exam is given for a second time, or this coming year.
As the exam is given another time, I think that what parents need to take away is that when they see the score for their child, this is something that is actionable. They can look to see where the gaps are in their learning or their understanding of these particular topics, and they should go on bealearninghero.org, the PARC website, the MSDE website, and Maryland PTA website for additional information. There is a lot of information available out there for them.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Elizabeth Isala Light, president of the Maryland PTA. Cheryl Boast, a former Baltimore County school teacher who's vice president of the Maryland State Education Association, the state's largest teachers union. And thanks to Eddie's of Roland Park for supplying lunch for our guest today. Eddie's is a full-service market, locations on North Charles Street and Roland Avenue in Roland Park. More information at www.eddiesofrolandpark.com. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay tuned for Here and Now. And tomorrow, a busy roundup of the week's news and a preview of Saturday's 100th anniversary of a local legendary grudge match. You want to be here for that. So come back tomorrow.
Midday's producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producers are Melody Simmons and Connor Graham. The Midday intern is Adam Dronberg. Midday's engineer is Luke Spicknell. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming are available at WYPR.org or on demand using the WYPR app. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.